Good afternoon, everybody. This is Christian Teig speaking from Koblenz, Germany, welcoming everybody to the second quarter 2015 conference call for CGM. There is a presentation that can be downloaded from our website that I will step through in the first part of the session. There's also the opportunity to follow this presentation via a web tool which has a link in the invitation that you have received. The normal format is that I will step through the presentation. 25 slides should take about 15 minutes, and thereafter there will be a Q&A session. So we now step into this presentation, starting with slide numbered 2. We see here the key figures for the second quarter 2015. The good start to the year has continued in the second quarter. Top line and operating profit are where they should be, and the 3% increase in operating margin is a consistent follow-up from the first quarter. Special foreign exchange effects reverse some of the extraordinary positive financial result we had in the first quarter, so that distorts the reported net income and EPS somewhat here in the second quarter. But in terms of operating profits, we are fully in line where we should be. Moving then on to slide numbered 3. Here we see the revenue and profitability per quarter all the way back since 2010. For this quarter, both revenue and EBITDA are at levels that are 100% consistent with the outlook that we have given for this year. Revenue shows a strong and persistent growth pattern, and we firmly believe that the operating margin is now on a sustainable long-term growing trend. Next slide, slide number 4. We are stepping through some of the normal housekeeping items. Here we're at the cost of goods and the gross margin. We have been in this 81 to 83% gross margin range for a long time. This quarter we are at 79%, not a big swing, but still a small shift, and this is a temporary shift and is mainly driven by external research and development expenses related to the telematics infrastructure and electronic health card pilot project in Germany. Moving then on to slide number 5, here we see personnel expenses. In relationship to revenue, personnel expenses have dropped from the around 50% mark in the second quarter last year to 46% this year. This efficiency improvement is consistent with the restructuring measures we performed in 2014 and is also the main driver behind the improved group profitability. Slide 6, we're on to operating or other expenses. Except for the seasonally busiest fourth quarter, other expenses remain at around 30 to 35% relative to personnel expenses, and which is currently the normal level. In this quarter, we are fully in line in terms of other expenses, and overall, we're now in a more normal state compared to the extraordinary expenditure we incurred during last year. Slide 7. Operating cash flow from operations so far this year does not reflect the higher operating profit as it should. The main reason for this situation is the build-up of POC receivables in the telematics infrastructure and EGK pilot project. This actually, if you take last year as well, accumulates now to about 17 million euros, and during this year it's been about a 3 million increase. We also have some delayed cash collection in some business units who have been migrating to our new group-wide ERP solution. That is a fairly large amount also in the first half, about 10 million. Now these last effects from the ERP migrations are expected to be normalized during the second half of this year. Actually, most of it is already done. Whereas the payment milestones in the telematics infrastructure pilot project are expected to come towards the end of this year, beginning of 2016, and again turning into cash. Slide eight, CapEx. This is a relatively short list of items. Company acquisitions correspond to the payment for all shares in the Stockgruppe in Germany. The intangibles relate to normal capitalized R&D and some further licenses and enhancements of the new ERP/CRM system. CapEx for property and equipment is at normal maintenance levels. Brings us to slide number nine, the balance sheet. Asset side is virtually unchanged over the last 3 months. As for equity, the decrease comes from the 17 plus million dividend that we paid in May. The biggest changes to liabilities are increases in short-term debt and long-term debt, that's about 20 million, and about a 12 million decrease in other liabilities, which is related to seasonal prepayments of software maintenance, and they amortize over the year. Brings us to slide 10. We now turn to review of each business segment. We begin with the largest area, both in terms of revenue and profits, software for doctors. This business is currently about 60% of group revenue, and I guess in terms of overall action and positive dynamics, it is the core of the core in what we do in CGM, and clearly the most important overall business. It's been a good quarter in the doctor software business, with 4% organic growth in Europe outside the telematics infrastructure project. And we also see continued improvement in the US, with a reasonable level of profitability coming into the business, and also with a strong order intake. A bit more actually on the last point on the next slide, that would be slide numbered 12. This is the partnership with the Western Group. This is related to US order intake. We secured in May a multi-year, multi-million dollar partnership with the Western Group in Pennsylvania. Our EHR solution will be rolled out to the care providers of the Western Group. That is about 350 locations in all over the US with about 3,200 providers. This shows that we are competitive in the US market, especially when it comes to serving smaller office-based environments like those typically used by physical therapists and other rehab specialists. And there will now be a period of about 12 months to roll out this solution over the complete Western Group. Brings us to slide 13. This is the current status of the telematic infrastructure pilot project. It's well understood, I believe, by the audience on the call today, what this German e-health initiative can mean for CGM in the future. In terms of status for the ongoing pilot project, CGM showed at the Hauptstadt Congress in Berlin in June a full-fledged official real-life demonstration of all required hardware and software components fully functional. On top of that, it was with the German Minister of Health, Hermann Gröhe, as the test person. And one of the key hardware components to be delivered and developed by CGM in the consortium, the so-called connector router, has been delivered in the required quantities to the project customers, as you can see here somewhat symbolically on the picture on the slide. We have already recruited all required doctors, dentists, and hospitals to participate in the pilot, and we are now waiting for the decision of the project customer to start the field trial within the end of 2015. Brings us to slide 14. Key instrument to drive the nationwide rollout of the telematics infrastructure is the proposed new e-health law. This is an update on the progress to date. On January 16th, the draft law went to all relevant ministries and stakeholders for public comment. On May 27th, the Bundeskabinett, that is the government, decided officially that the law shall be pursued. Then on July 3rd, the bill went to the Bundestag, that is the parliament, for what's called the Erste Lesung, and that means that the law has been brought in officially. And in the Bundestag, the bill has been transferred to the Health Committee, where it is now being discussed. And it's still written in the current draft that the law comes into effect the 1st of January 2016. Brings us to the next slide, slide 15. This is the acquisition of Stock Informatic. That's the final slide from the doctor software area. Right at the start of the quarter, we took a new step to grow our German business by acquiring this company, Stock. It's the market leader for software in occupational medicine, preventative medicine, and occupational safety in Germany. The software supports companies in the prevention and active care regarding the health of their employees, and is used in numerous institutions ranging from provider clinics and businesses to major corporations. This brings us then to slide 16-17, that is the second segment, second office-based segment, software for pharmacies. This business currently represents about 15% of group revenue and is definitely on the rise within CGM. We had yet another good quarter with 4% organic growth on top of the 19% growth contribution coming from Pharma3Tech, Punto Pharma, and Mundo Pharma acquisitions we did last year. And overall we're happy with how this segment develops. Turning us then to slide 18, slash 19, the third provider segment, that is software for hospitals. This business is approximately the same size as the pharmacy software business. That means approximately 15% of group revenue. And the hospital business definitely made some positive strides during the second quarter. 13% organic growth is definitely a strong performance. It's in this quarter, especially the market in Poland, that contributes to the high growth rate. It's driven by a larger CGM participation in the ongoing national e-health project there. Since 2014, the Polish government is investing millions of euros in this project, and we, CGM in Poland, act as a subcontractor to HP in the project, and we have now increased our role in this project. In terms of order intake, important for us in the German-speaking part of our markets, a major new contract was won in Austria for the implementation and delivery of a new hospital information system for 5 regional hospitals in Vorarlberg, as a region in Austria. This project is expected to start in September and go in a rollout duration for about 3 years, that means until the fall of 2018. Overall, happy with how the hospital business has evolved in the first 6 months. Brings us then to slide 20, the communication and data development. Continues the positive trend from the first quarter. Growth comes from product and service innovation, and we are now, as you might know, also active outside the traditional doctor software products with the business that cooperates with the largest online physician network in Germany, which is called Hippocanet. Slide 21, workflow and decision support. A very uneventful quarter, pretty unspectacular in how this develops in this phase. Many projects which we had revenue from in 2014 were just not replaced or followed this year. The pace of new business is slow. However, bringing us to slide 22, summing it all up, it has been a very solid quarter from our side. In addition to the expected, I would say, group growth and profitability improvements, probably the recent developments in the hospital business stand out on the positive.
And with another solid quarter behind, we certainly reaffirm our guidance for 2015. And you see it, including some recent acquisitions, in these ranges. That means revenue should be between 549 and 559 million euros, and EBITDA in the range of 115 to 125 million euros. Brings us exactly at the 15-minute mark to the last slide, slide 23, the financial calendar. The next reporting date will be the 5th of November, with the financial report for the third quarter. But before that, we will host our analyst conference here in Koblenz, Germany, on October the 9th. Yes, and that concludes the prepared presentation. We will now open for the Q&A session. If you would like to raise questions, please press star 1 on your telephone, and you will be queued in the normal way.
Yes, hey Christian, it's Uwe from Deutsche. Two questions, please, on the Gematik issue. Firstly, could you just maybe elaborate a bit on what you thought really went wrong in the whole, call it, communication between what the Gematik is saying and what you and the hardware vendors are saying? Because very clearly, Gematik stated that they see the delay in as a responsibility of the hardware companies. On the other hand, you continue to stress that you have shown a working solution already back in June, including a delivery of a fair amount of these hardware components to the test authorities. So where is the missing link here? Just help us understand, and I completely understand that you try to play it as low-key as possible in this environment, but any, I guess, additional commentary would certainly be welcome. Secondly, what is really the visibility of the test period starting later this year, as you indicated in your quarterly report? I believe the CEO of the Gematik has recently indicated in an interview with the Frankfurt Allgemeine that he rather thought a start in early 16 was likely. Again, any help that you can provide in terms of this potential disconnect would be helpful. Thank you.
Yes. So I guess I will have to say that there isn't so much that we can say in terms of commenting beyond what we have already done in the quarterly report. We are contractually bound to let the customer, that means Gematik, make public statements regarding the project. I will say a few things. Obviously, there is a broad list of contractors and subcontractors in the overall project. It's two test regions, our consortium and the other consortium. In addition to that, there are appointed contractors on manufacturing the cards. There are appointed contractors, five of them, for the card readers, and a very large community of advisors and professional services being employed also on the customer side. So, of course, there are many links in this chain. I believe it's been important for us to state clearly where we stand on our part of this, which we have done in the quarterly report. And when it comes to comments on the overall progress and as I said, the public statements from the Gematik, they will have to do, of course, based on significantly more information from many more sources than just CGM. So I think that's probably the missing link that you might be looking for. The second question, you know, the visibility of the test period. Yeah, this is the key question. And we've written our single sentence in the report in that we are, in a sense, waiting for the decision of the Gematik, whether they will start in 2015 or 16, which means we believe that decision and the power to do it this year or next year based on where overall progress is, resides in the hands of the Gematik. It doesn't mean they have an easy decision to make. There are many stakeholders in this, not just the project organizations and vendors like us. But ultimately, they will have to make their decision. And probably this will happen sometime in the next 1 to 2 months. Exactly what that decision will be, we don't know, and it is also beyond what we can influence. I can only say that we certainly have done everything in the realms of our power to support our customer and to make sure that these tests start without any undue delay.
Christian, just one follow-up. Regarding that sentence that you mentioned, according to which you expect the trial period to start end of this year, do you have information in addition to what is currently published in the newspaper, let me say it this way, that would conclude you to make such a statement, or where, what is basically the source of that argument? Thank you.
So we are not saying, again, it's not our decision. It's the decision of the Gematik, whether they will start the pilots or not. I think that's the important point that we are making. As I said, we haven't seen any publicly stated definite decision on when the pilots will start, and that's what we are waiting for. That could be this year or it could be next year. That's for the Gematik to decide and not for us.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, hi Christian, that's Knut from Baader Helvea, just with a follow-up on the EHC opportunity. I think in the Q1 call you mentioned something that, like a split that you expect from the 200 million revenue opportunity that should be 25% in 16, 50, 17, and 25 in 2018. So looking at the discussion about the possible delay of the testing phase, how fine do you still feel with this split? Then secondly, looking at the US, can you quantify the revenue potential coming from the Western deal? And you mentioned also reasonable level of profitability in the US that has been reached. If I remember correctly, it was around about 10% EBITDA margin in Q1. What is the current status quo in the second quarter? Thank you.
I guess for the first question, in the current form of the draft e-health law, there is no change to the trigger points for the financial incentives, and as long as they stay in the draft, I see no reason why, say, the schedule of rollout should be changed. I guess if probably a meaningful if you then, but this assumes 6 months of productive rollout 16, the full year 17 and 6 months in 18. And then I guess for each month and it's unlikely that it will be accelerated to that. So that represents what's currently written in the law. And I guess for each month you will assume a delay, you will have a commensurate shift into that schedule. But again, if we just follow what is currently, on the table in terms of legislation, the 25-50-25 schedule is still the one that would apply.
And if I could follow up on that, Christian, what would be the impact if the testing period would start instead of 15, as you have still on your agenda, if that would be shifted to 2016? Do you still think that the six-month productive rollout would be a fair assumption for 16, or would that be at risk? Thanks.
No, let's take for the sake of argument, because that's the easiest to do a calculation for. Take a six-month delay. Then I would just shift everything 6 months, which means for 16, 17, and 18, I would put 0, 50, 50 instead of 25, 50, 25.
Understood.
Good. The revenue potential of Western, fully rolled out with all services, order of magnitude is $6 million per year. Per year. And again, we are now starting to roll out, and it will be about a 12-month ramp up. So it should show some sequential impact. And we are still at around the 10% operating margin in the US.
Thank you.
Hi, Christian. Good afternoon. Could you disclose the sales potential of the Austrian hospital contract? And then also you, I think, acquired a small Italian company, Medi Italia. Maybe you could quickly elaborate on that. And then you also reported a very high tax rate in Q2. What is the reason for that, and what we could expect for the full year? Thank you.
Yeah, the Austrian deal, order of magnitude, complete contract over the 3 years, is around 10 million euros.
So this is the total number spent over roughly 3 years?
Over 3 years, yes.
Yeah.
Order of magnitude. Medici Italia, something that I guess technically happened Q3, not Q2. We announced it yesterday, which probably was the last day before Italy goes into hibernation. It is an interesting approach for us to see if there are other inroads to make our initiatives, I would say, predominantly in the area of e-services, more successful. Even though this is a more or less a consumer-oriented health information portal, it has some very interesting features also oriented towards the doctors community. You have about 9,000 active specialists on the site, which use it basically as a place to write blogs in their area of specialty. Obviously our business is subscription for doctors. That's just fundamentally what we do. We also know that until today, doctors pay their subscriptions for regulatory compliance and for efficiency. What we also see and what we also expect is that doctors increasingly will pay subscriptions to increase patient flow and to increase patient satisfaction. And that's exactly how we want to combine this, site with our current products and business models, because part of that approach to increase patient flow, and that's very important for specialists in countries like Italy, and to increase patient satisfaction, is to then gradually build on top of such, say, information sites. They have 4 million unique visitors per month, services like appointment scheduling, and maybe also the other e-services that we have from beforehand. So really this is for us more or less a distribution channel where we want to bundle in our existing products and subscriptions to doctors, and that is the plan with this site in the coming months. In terms of investment, it's a relatively small investment, and it generates revenue today exclusively from banner advertising, less than $1 million per year. That will stay, but that's not why we bought it. We bought it as a platform to market our doctor subscriptions. Point three, tax rate. We made a one-off, adjustment. It was about $2 million in the quarter, which is actually related to some expected outcomes from the completion of tax audits from the year 2008 through 2011. So it's more or less an adjustment for prior periods, which is now booked in one quarter. And in the coming quarters, we should be again back to our expected accounting tax rate, which is about 30%.
All right, thank you very much.
Hi, it's Lars from Hauck & Aufhäuser. The guys left me just with two questions. Maybe I missed it. What was the sales in the US? organic and reported. And the second question is again on the telematic. On page 14, where you have the timeline basically for the introduction of the law, well, if we compare it with the Q1 presentation, for example, you had expected the erste Lesung in March. It's delayed by 3 months now. What gives you the confidence that it will still be in place end of the year? So do you have your lobbyists there? So where do you get the information from, basically? Thanks.
So maybe take the last question first. So the answer is yes and yes and yes. I mean, this is important enough for us to monitor anything that goes on in Berlin very closely from our Berlin office. You know, Germany practices a very open government. I mean, you can go into public websites and you can read the summaries from, you know, the presentation which was held in the parliament when it was brought in on the 3rd of July, and you can read the same minutes from the meeting in the Bundeskabinett the 27th of May. And again, everything in the legislative process is aimed towards the voting happening in November. This is what the politicians want, this is what they have planned on, and there is no change to that, also because the law comes into effect as it is written the 1st of July. We said, you know, I think the sequence of events before that have been shuffled a little bit. The important thing is that it now has been brought in and it's still scheduled for final vote in November. So unless it gets changed, this is what will happen. Sales in the US was in euros 10.1 million euros in the second quarter.
Okay, great, thanks.
Yeah.
Hello, Christian. It's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. A couple of questions from my side as well. The first one is regarding the connector. Is there a scenario where there could be only one connector provider left? Obviously, you do not have any issues with yours, and obviously it's going to be an admission process, which might be very favorable for the provider who has a solution that is working as it is supposed. Second question is on METIS. To which extent is the market penetrated already? How much revenue potential do we still see here? Or in other words, for how long could we see 4% organic growth going on in the pharmacy software business? And the same question with regard to communication data. The solutions and offerings you presented at your Capital Markets Day last year, obviously well perceived by the customers you're addressing. So to which extent do you believe have you already utilized the market opportunities? Thank you.
Only one connector for Germany is unlikely. That's my opinion. It's not clearly not our decision. Clearly, we wouldn't be against it, but that would seem as an unlikely scenario, given the importance of these components and some type of redundancy on many levels. And to my knowledge, there hasn't been any discussions in this direction. So I think that's not something that anyone should factor in. METIS, I think we highlighted this because it is an important add-on for this year. Having said that, it's not the only one, and we certainly have a long pipeline of both advanced add-ons on the verge of coming in, and so I think the 4%, especially considering, say, the lower maturity of the Italian business and meaning more headroom, I think 4% organic growth is as good an assumption for the future as anything. I mean, we've said 2 to 4%, and 4% is still in that range. So yeah, that business is going well, and it's going well in a robust way. It doesn't mean every quarter will have to land here, but I think even in the long term, 4% is a credible assumption. On the last question, I would probably be a little bit more cautious, just saying that yes, so far so good. But we know our customer group, which are pharma companies, well. We know that their interest in products and services come and go. I mean, they're large, say, top-down driven U.S. corporations, many of them, and it only takes a sneeze in a corporate office in the U.S. to impact how our market runs in Europe for us in this area. So I would say, so far, you know, there has been no sneezing in the U.S. HQs in this area in the last period, so that's good for us. But it is probably something, it is something inherently less robust than the other parts of our business, and I think that should be factored in still going forward.
Thank you.
That appears to be the last of your questions. Then thank you so much for your interest, and we look forward to speaking to you again. Thank you.